Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry. If I asked you, what is God's purpose for your life, what would you answer? Most young adults don't really have a clear picture of what they should do after high school. In fact, there are so many options, the decision can actually be scary. If you're interested in discovering God's perfect plan for your future, or if you'd like to prepare to serve God in full-time ministry, then find out more about West Coast Baptist College at wcbc.edu.
There's a lot changing in our world. Today, with Dr. Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word, we're going to take current events and hold them up against the lens of Bible prophecy and understand the times better. Stay with us. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. It's easy to watch the evening news, even as a Christian, and begin to fear and wonder and question. But when we take current events and hold them up against the lens of Bible prophecy, we're reminded once again of God's power, God's sovereignty, and we're reminded that we can live with confidence and trust in God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and president and founder of West Coast Baptist College. We are airing a new series entitled Times Are Changing. We did listen to this series earlier this year, but we're re-airing it because it was very well received and because Pastor Chappell has a new book that's a companion to this series. The series is entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to carefully study Bible prophecy, and especially in light of current events and the things that are changing in our world. And the companion book that comes along with this series is entitled Understanding the Times. I'll tell you more about it after today's program. But first today, we're turning to Revelation chapter 20 through 22 and studying a very encouraging topic, the final kingdom. Where is it all really headed when it comes to global government, this earth, and eternity? Here's Paul Chappell.
There was a story given related to a man who had come to the place that he was facing death. And as this man came to his doctor, the man asked his doctor the simple question, "Sir, what would you tell me is on the other side of the door of death?" The doctor thought about it for a moment. He was a Christian. His patient was a Christian. But he had never had someone ask him the question, "What is on the other side of the door of death?" As the doctor was thinking about how to answer the question, he heard the scratching of his little dog trying to get into his office. And the doctor said, "You know," he said, "I want you to think about it for a moment." He said, "My little dog has been downstairs all of this time, and he knows that I'm here in the office, and I hear him scratching on the door there." He said, "Now he doesn't really know what's in the office, except he knows that I'm in the office. He knows that his master is in the office." And he said to the patient, "Isn't it really the same with you? You don't really know what lies beyond the door, but you know who is beyond the door. And the person that is beyond the door is the Lord Jesus Christ." How we thank God today that while we study the eternal state and the coming heaven for all of eternity, we also know that the most important thing we'll study today is not necessarily the facts about heaven or the eternal kingdom, but the fact that Jesus Christ is waiting for us on the other side. Last week we saw that Jesus will come at the time of his second coming and that he will literally, physically stand on the Mount of Olives and begin his reign from this place, planet Earth. We've been showing a chart maybe to give a little understanding of this sequence of events. And we learned, looking to the left of the chart, that all of us are presently living in what is known as the church age or the age of grace. and that the blessed hope of every one of us living in this age is what is known as the rapture or the catching away of the saints. That is the next event that interests the Christians, the fact that Jesus Christ would call us home. After that time, the Lord calls us home. There will be a period known as the period of the tribulation, a time of wars and disease, a time of tremendous judgment on this planet. And at the end of that seven-year period, also known as Daniel's 70th week, there will take place the descending of Jesus Christ and the Battle of Armageddon, and then the establishment of His kingdom here on this earth. Many of you have heard verses related to this kingdom. For example, in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, "And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." How many of you have ever heard that verse, perhaps, or seen it on a plaque somewhere? And sometimes people think that perhaps there will be a great peace brought upon the earth by the negotiations of man or the work of the United Nations or some other entity such as that. But the fact of the matter is, this verse will not be fulfilled until the King of Kings and Lord of Lords establishes peace on earth. Only Jesus Christ can establish peace on earth. And that's what we learn about in the Word of God today. And so let's learn about this coming kingdom and how it leads us into eternity as the people of God. Notice, if you would, first of all, the establishment of the kingdom. The establishment of the kingdom. As we read a moment ago in chapter 20, beginning in verse number 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon," that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, "and bound him 1,000 years. The first thing that takes place as Jesus begins his millennial reign on this earth is that Satan himself will be thrown into hell for 1,000 years. It is called here a bottomless pit. And it only makes sense that if there will be peace on earth, then Satan will not be allowed to do the work that he had been doing all during the tribulation time. The Bible prophesied this in Isaiah 14 and verse 12. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Many of you know, by the way, that Satan is a fallen angelic being and that he rebelled against God and took with him one-third of the angelic powers who have been since that time actively involved in the demonic oppression and battling against the people of God. And the question is raised by Isaiah, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Verse 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Now, Satan is doing a big work today, taking the lives of many teenagers and ruining marriages and causing a division and all types of heartache. And yet the Bible tells us there will come a time when he will be cast into hell. He will be cast into a bottomless pit, a sphere, as the earth within itself has no top or bottom, only sides, and there is a constant gravitational pull, so that in this place called hell, there is the sense of eternal falling and helplessness and damnation. This will be a temporary holding place for Satan during the 1,000-year reign, and then at the end of that time, he will be banished into hell forever and ever. And so the beginning of this particular time known as the millennial kingdom starts with the banishing or the removal of Satan. Notice, secondly, there is the beginning of service by the people of God. It is at this time that those who knew the Lord will rule and reign with the Lord. Notice in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 6 says it again, "and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now the word thrones is not speaking merely of Jesus Christ, but it is speaking of all of those who have come to know the Lord as their Savior and are now ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. In this vision that John is expressing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is giving us a panoramic view of the setting aside and punishing of Satan and the lifting up of those who have been true and faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see that many will serve with the Lord as judges or as rulers during the time of the millennial period. They will have thrones. They will make judgments there. Lehman Strauss said in his commentary on the book of the Revelation, "The thrones that John saw are judicial seats of regal authority. They are not displayed for mere empty show. Once God's saints were judged and persecuted by the world and are so treated even now. But the day will come when the saints will judge the world." And that's exactly what we're reading about in Revelation 20. Daniel spoke of it in Daniel 7:22. "Until the Ancient of Days," speaking of Jesus Christ and his eternality, "until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom." The Apostle Paul spoke about a time when believers from the ages would rule and reign with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:2. "Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" And so we see the believers are set aside as judges and rulers with the Lord. And we will serve with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice if you would in verse 4 once again, the latter portion says that we will reign with Christ 1,000 years. Daniel said that in Daniel 7:18. "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." And so we see the banishing of Satan and then the beginning of service by the people of God with Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, I want you to ponder with me this morning the blessing of salvation. I hope you get this picture in your mind. It is a blessing that every one of us who have been saved will be coming down with the Lord at His second coming and will be ruling and reigning with the Lord in His kingdom. It is a blessing that we are a part of that wonderful moment in world history. And let's read about it in verse 5. "But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." Now let me just pause. Verse 5 speaks about the resurrection of the unsaved, those that were not saved during the millennial period, but primarily all of the unsaved in the ages past. They will have a resurrection to the time of the great white throne judgment. But what about those of us who have already been resurrected? Because by this time, all of us, listen, logically, if we're coming down with Jesus at the second coming, then at some point we were already resurrected, right? And so think of the blessing of salvation and think of it in this way, that Jesus Christ has resurrected the saints and that we will come down with Him. Now look in your notes at 1 Thessalonians 3:13 to get that picture in your mind. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, "To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," let's say these next four words together, ready, begin, "with all His saints." One more time, "with all His saints." All right. And so we come with the Lord, with all the saints, the Lord comes at His second coming. Now, when we think of the saints, just stop and pause for a moment. Would that include the saints of the Old Testament? Yes, it would. Would that include the saints of the church age, you and me? Yes, it would. What about those people that get saved during the tribulation period? Would it include them? And the answer is, yes, it would. So that means that all three groups throughout all ages of history, all of those who believe through history, will have been resurrected and will be with the Lord and will return with the Lord. Let me briefly tell you how that has happened or how that will happen. How has that happened with the Old Testament saints? Notice the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. Matthew 27:50. "Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice," speaking of the cross of Calvary, "yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept." All right, now pause with me for a moment. The graves that opened and the bodies of the saints which slept, This would be preceding the cross of Calvary. And so this would be for the first 4,000 years of world history. For those saints that slept, the graves were open, and man came out of the graves of his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And so there is the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. Secondly, there has the promise for us been given of the resurrection of the church age saints. And we see that in 1 Thessalonians 4, and I preached from this a few weeks ago. Notice what it says in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall join together, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so those are the saints of the age in which we live. And as I said a moment ago, that's our blessed hope. That's what we're looking for when Jesus Christ will call us home. But then what about those people that get saved during the 7-year tribulation period? And verse 4 speaks of them. So let's look at verse 4 for a moment. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Remember, during the tribulation, those people that will not take the mark of the beast, many of them are going to be martyred for their faith. And yet, John says he saw them ruling and reigning with Jesus. So that tells us that they have been resurrected at the time, at the end of the tribulation, and that they have now come down with the Lord at the second coming. And verse 6 says they will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And so this millennial kingdom that really leads on into the eternal kingdom begins with the banishing of Satan, the serving of the saints, judging and ruling with Jesus Christ. And it is a blessing to know that all who have been saved are a part of this kingdom, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. The establishment of the kingdom is what we see in chapter 20. But then let's notice, secondly, this morning, the execution of final judgment. Because at this righteous kingdom, we have seen that there will be a judgment that takes place. And of course, that is first and foremost the judgment on Satan. Satan, who has for so many years, since the very early moments of history, has fought against the progression of the faith, has fought Jesus Christ every step of his way to the cross. Now for 1,000 years, the world will know what it is like to have peace and safety without the presence of Satan at work in this world. And this will be a 1,000-year judgment. Notice the Bible tells us that at the end of this 1,000-year time, Satan will be loosed for a season. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Now, isn't this amazing? Like a felon that is not recovered, or like someone that has not truly, through the incarceration, had a change, right back out on the streets doing the exact same repeat offense, here we see the devil having done his time, if you will, now right back out at the end of this perfect and wonderful time on planet Earth, and right back to his dirty deeds, according to verse 8, deceiving the nations of the earth. But notice what the Bible says concerning this man, fallen angel Satan. The Bible tells us that he's not only loosed and not only goes about doing wicked, but Satan is finally and utterly destroyed. Look at verse 9. And when they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, speaking of Satan and the number following him, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Can we get an amen out of that? The devil, the Antichrist, the false prophet, finally, eternally set apart for judgment eternally. But I want you to stop and think about something that always amazes me. It always amazes me that people during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, a perfect time, a peaceful time, a time with no war, a time that's been so blessed, listen, that people living in that time still would choose to reject Jesus Christ and follow Satan at the end of that 1,000 years. That, my friend, is a testimony to the depravity of mankind's hearts. And they will reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, many teenagers grow up with a Christian mom and dad, second or third generation young people. And many times, though they have all the blessings of a Christian home, a Christian school, all the blessings of the local church, they can get a hard heart and turn away from the things of God. And I say to you this morning, let this be a warning to every one of us that we would not take for granted the Word of God, the local church, the Holy Spirit, but that we would be sensitive and tender in our hearts to the wonderful blessings of God. Well, we see the judgment of Satan, and then notice secondly, the judgment of the unbelievers. The Bible speaks of this in verse 11. What about those throughout time who have rejected the Lord? We know there's the resurrection of the believing dead for the purpose of eternal blessings with God in heaven. But what about those who have rejected Christ throughout the ages? Well, look at verse 11 again. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, here we come to this great white throne judgment. How many of you have ever heard of it before? Let me see. All right. How many of you have never heard of it before? Let me see who I'm talking to. All right. Good. And so we come to this great white throne judgment. The key to the great white throne judgment is to remember that this judgment is a place for those who have rejected Christ. It is where the unsaved ultimately will stand before God. And my friend, you don't want to stand there. It is the place where those who rejected God will stand in the end. And according to verse number 11, this is a great white throne judgment. It is a place that causes great fear. It is a place that is a place of righteousness. And we know that it is Jesus Christ himself sitting on this throne of judgment. Lehman Strauss says these verses are among the most solemn in the Bible. They tell us of that dread and final judgment. The judicial benches of this world pale into significance when placed alongside the staggering scene of this throne and the judgment which issues from it. So we see the judge is Jesus Christ. Notice the judgment of the great white throne. Verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now remember we said this was the first resurrection of the dead throughout the ages, the unbelieving dead. And they will stand there before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says there will be no respect of persons. The dead, great and small. It doesn't matter how much money they made. It doesn't matter if they were kings or queens. If they rejected God's truth, if they rejected Jesus Christ, they will stand there at the great white throne judgment. And there will be no hope to escape punishment. The Bible says clearly in verse number 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were judged in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now listen very carefully. Is your name written in the book of life?
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. He's been teaching through a series entitled Times Are Changing. We're studying present-day events, but holding those events up under the lens of Bible prophecy. We're understanding God's sovereignty and God's promises anew and afresh. I'm so excited to tell you that Dr. Chappell has a brand new book that's just come off the press that's based on this series, and it contains so much more information than was able to be contained in the teaching and preaching series. The book is entitled Understanding the Times, Living Courageously in Prophetic Days. If you are a Christian, this book will help you understand what's happening in the world around us and how the Bible sheds light and gives you promise and confidence to live courageously. If you know someone that's not a Christian, this book will help them understand the gospel in the light of present-day events and in the light of prophecy. It's a powerful tool for witnessing to others and sharing Christ. It's a powerful tool for growing in God's grace and developing the courage and strength to press forward no matter what you see in today's news headlines. I want to encourage you to give us a call or write to us and let us send you a copy of Understanding the Times. The easiest way to receive your copy of Understanding the Times is visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can also call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Finally, you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Your purchase of a copy of Understanding the Times is not only an investment into your own life or to the life of a friend spiritually, it's also an investment into Daily in the Word. Your gift to our ministry helps us continue broadcasting on this station and continue purchasing airtime on hundreds of stations across the country. So be sure to give us. Well, thank you, Pastor. And friend, thank you for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. You can find out more about this broadcast ministry. You can listen to today's broadcast or recent broadcasts, or you can request your copy of Understanding the Times when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. Thanks again for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.